Now tonight I want you to turn with me to the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel, beginning with verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And the verse I want to use tonight is of the 36th verse. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What if you gain the whole world and lost your soul? We had a friend out in California that made a commitment to Christ in one of our crusades in Los Angeles, and his name was Stuart Hamlin. And he wrote a song called This Old House. And he was talking about the house we live in. And what lives in our house is our soul, our spirit. Now, we hear a great deal about outer space, and last night we saw that beautiful eclipse. And it seems that the further that our electronic telescopes go out into outer space, the more mysterious outer space becomes. Tonight, I want to talk about inner space, about a man's soul, a spirit, or a woman's soul and spirit. We can't reach it with a needle, a knife. You can't see it on an MRI or a CAT scan. But that doesn't mean that our soul or spirit is not real. Every day, people debate the worth of various things that you buy. I heard about a woman that came home one day and she was holding a leash with a small elephant following her. And her husband said, What in the world, bringing an elephant? She said, Well, I got it at a bargain. And that's the way some men and women shop. But what are things worth? That storm, Bertha, that came through a few weeks ago. We were down in a place, and the eye of the storm passed right over us. And I sat out at 3 o'clock in the morning, right in the face of that storm, on the ocean. And those waves were going 16, 18 feet. And we were up on a cliff. And all morning long, I sat there and watched that storm. And palm trees were blowing by, and trees were falling down and breaking. What an experience it was as the rain lashed against us. And then Bertha came on to North Carolina because it wanted to come to my hometown, to my home state. And then following Bertha was a little tiny storm that was just beginning by the name of Fran. And it came here. And it went to Raleigh. And I have a daughter that lives in Raleigh. Her name is Ann Lutz. And they just have a small place, but they lost 55 trees in that storm. They didn't have lights. They didn't have phone for a full week. Now, that's a terrible thing in our modern day. When I was born and reared, of course, we didn't have lights and we didn't have phones out on the park road, because out on the park road was way out in the country. We were country people. And we thought if you came to Charlotte, my goodness, you had really gone somewhere. You're in a big city. And Charlotte had almost 40,000 people in those days. And we thought it was a gigantic city. And I didn't think that any city in the world could be greater than Charlotte. And I still hold that view. But I remember when Hugo came, Governor Earl Campbell of South Carolina, took me on a helicopter, and we went up and down the beaches and across the state and saw all that destruction that came. And I thought to myself, what is the value of a forest that's destroyed like that? What's the value of a beach that's destroyed with all those houses down and all the erosion, the sand gone? What's the value of clean water and clean air that we talk so much about today in our environmental conferences? Is it worth $1 million or $1 billion or more to have clean air and clean water? And what about the value of each person here tonight? What is the value of another year of life for you? What would you give for another year of life if you knew that tonight your life would be cut off? I have a first cousin, one of the closest members of our family, who had a terrible pain night before last. And she called the doctor. They sent an ambulance. And the ambulance took her to the hospital. They operated on her. And within a few hours, she had died. What would be the value of another day? Because her children were on the way here for this crusade from different parts of the country. What would be the value to them of another hour to see their mother, another day, another week? How do we value things? We value our bodies. We take exercise. You go all over the country, the various cities and people are jogging, and you watch on the television and you see these lovely girls telling you how you should exercise. What about our minds? We go to school and we try to get as much education as we possibly can, or as much as we can afford. We spend a great deal of time and money perfecting our bodies and our minds. And then we take a lot of medicine, billions of dollars worth of medicine every year, to make yourself stronger and better and well. What kind of a value do we put on all that? But God has values too. And He puts more value on your soul or your spirit than He does everything else that you could ever think of. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? Suppose you gain the world of knowledge. You had a PhD in every subject you could think of. Suppose you were the finest medical doctor. Suppose you had all the medical knowledge. Suppose you had all the oil that they're fighting over in the Middle East. Suppose you had all the gold in the ground, or all the diamonds in South Africa. What would it be worth compared to your soul? Jesus said, if you had it all, it's not compared to one soul, you. Because you see, your soul is you. Your soul lives in your body. And you may gain the whole world and wake up one morning to find yourself missing the most important thing in all of life, and that's your soul. And you can't regain it. If you lost it, you can't go get it and start over again. This is it. What is the soul? And why is it tragic to lose it? Well, first, it's valuable because it's eternal. It goes on and on forever and ever and ever and ever. Your body is going to die and go to the grave. But you, the real you, is going to live forever and ever and ever. in heaven or hell, according to the Bible. Now, the body is a beautiful structure, but it is matter, and it will die. The Bible says it's appointed unto men and women once to die. But there's something in man and woman beyond the body. And the Bible calls it the soul of the spirit. Have you ever walked by the casket of a dead person that you knew? And you'd say, you know, he or she is not there. That's the body. But they have departed. What has departed? The soul, the spirit, the real person is no longer there. Like the body itself, the soul is a great wonder and it's a great mystery. The soul is the essence of who you are, your mind, your emotions, your will, your personality. And it expresses itself through your body. The body is the house and the soul is the tenant that lives in the house. And when the body dies, the soul lives on. This is a truth that many people don't want to hear, but it's one of the central themes of the Bible. There's an eternal destiny for every soul, and it's determined by a choice that you make here in this life, or maybe a choice you're going to make tonight. Where you're going to be 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now. The loss of a soul is tragic because death renders it permanent for all eternity. The decision you make tonight will be permanent. It will affect you where you are 1,000,000 years from now. But the good news is that God offers eternal life to every soul, to every one of us, if we put our faith and our trust in Him and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and accept what His Son did on the cross for us. Then secondly, the soul is valuable because of God's concern. The whole Bible is concerned with saving and developing the soul. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9. In Romans 5:8 it says, God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is concerned about your soul, and He loves your soul. He loves you. And He wants to save you and forgive you of all your sins and mistakes and the failures of your life. And He wants to come into this life that you're living now and help you, to direct you, to guide you, to teach you, to help you not to make mistakes. Thirdly, the soul is valuable because of the nature of its loss. It's tragic to lose your friends. It's tragic to lose your health, to lose your character. We have many tragic losses that we read about in the paper every day. But you lose in this life. You can't get it all. Suppose you could get everything there is in the whole world and it was yours. And you can't take it with you. Have you ever gone to a cemetery and watched a hearse come? I've never seen one in which they had a U-Haul it trailer behind the hearse. Even if you're... Even if you accumulate a great deal in this life of material wealth, you can't take it with you. Even if you got it all, it doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring happiness. I could give you a list of quotes that would stretch from one end of the stadium to the other from well-known people that you think are happy because you see their picture in the papers. You see them in People magazine, or you see them in some of the papers and articles and they look so happy and so wonderful. And yet what they say in the quietness as they talk to a friend or a reporter, they tell how miserable they are, how unhappy they are, how fame and fortune hasn't made them happy. Many of them start taking drugs. Many of them die from drugs because they're miserable in spite of their fame and their wealth and all the rest. But more importantly, you not only lose in this life, but you lose in the life to come. Because when you die, that's not the end of you. You go on, as I said, for eternity. And there are many descriptions in the Bible of what the Bible sums it up and calls it hell. I don't know all about hell. I know there is one. But there's some mysteries about it that I don't try to go into. But I know that it's a place of separation from God. In the Psalms, it's called a horrible storm. In the Psalms, it's called a place of sorrows. In Matthew 8, Jesus calls it a place of outer darkness. He also said in Luke 16, he told a story that showed that it's a place where you can remember. And that may be the worst hell of all. You could remember this meeting tonight when you had a chance to say yes to Christ and you didn't do it. And there you are, and it's too late. You're forever lost. Most people have a sneaking fear of death, or they're afraid of the suffering that precedes death. We go out on a highway, and we see the slaughter on the highways on the television, and we wonder if we're going to make it to the place we want to go without an accident. And we wonder what's going to happen to us. I want to ask you, are you in the process of losing your soul now? There's no return route from hell. It's a one-way street, and you're on it. Thousands of you on it. Jesus said, there are two roads in life. One is a broad road that leads to destruction and judgment and hell. The other is a narrow road that leads to heaven and all the joy and all the peace and all the things that God has promised to those that love Him. He says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. You give your life to Christ and you've got the whole universe ahead of you, full of joy and peace. But you have to make a commitment. Jesus said you have to be willing to deny self and take up a cross and follow me. And then fourthly, the soul is valuable because of the price that was paid for its redemption. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed by silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And yet some of you tonight are taking a chance. You say, oh, I've got plenty of time. I'm still young. You know, when you're young, you don't think about these things quite as much. And yet if you take the song sheets in much of the rock music, you'll find there's a lot of songs that deal with death and suffering. So much of it. And I read an article in one of the news magazines in which they said that the thing that young people think about most, you'd think that it would be sex. No, it's death. They think about death more than they do sex. And here you are tonight. I don't know what age you are, but you ought to not go very long till you've made that final commitment to Christ. You're a good person, but deep down in your heart, you're not sure that Jesus lives there. You're not sure that He's the Lord and the Master and the Savior of your life. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What about you? Have you thought about it? 6 years ago, Lee Atwater collapsed while speaking at a political fundraiser. He was from here in South Carolina. The doctors told him that he had a malignant brain tumor. Not long after the diagnosis, Atwater told a reporter, "I fooled myself into thinking I was indestructible. It makes you reevaluate everything. 70% of the things I was frantically pursuing didn't matter anymore. I found Jesus Christ, and He's made a difference, and I'm glad that I found Him while there's still time. For the first time in my life, I don't hate anybody." Before he died, the President of the United States asked me to go visit him in the hospital, and I did. And I found him a man with a smile on his face, and he said, "That smile is put there by Jesus." He said, I've done everything. I'm one of the political experts in the country, but none of that satisfied my heart or my soul. Today, God is giving you here tonight an opportunity to confront your own mortality, to reevaluate your life, to turn to Him while there's still time. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Your eternal soul is the most valuable thing you possess. It's worth more than the whole world put together. And once you lose it, there's nothing you can do about it. Jesus loves you so much that He died on the cross for you, so that your soul would be saved, so you'd go to heaven when you die, and so that you'd have heaven here in this life. I had a letter from one of my staff this week, and he wrote this. He said, "My dad left home when I was 16. We didn't know for 2 years where he was, and our family plunged into absolute poverty. As the oldest, I had to support the family as best I could, and my mother and the four children suffered a great deal. Over the years, 40 years, we suffered. I have prayed for my father. I've tried to lead him to Christ, but he refuses." He wrote that Sunday night, his father called him on the phone and told him that he had been watching the recent Minneapolis crusade on television. And when he heard me say that Christ's arms were stretched wide enough on the cross so that you with all your sin could come to Him, his father felt he had to come to Christ that night. And his father prayed, "Lord, you know all about my sin, and I'm coming to you now to ask your forgiveness and to give you my heart with all my life." And he gave his life to Christ, and it changed his life, and it changed his family. I'm asking you to come now and make that same commitment and say, "Lord, I have sinned. I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that my soul is safe in the hands of Jesus, but I want it to be. I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to know for sure where I stand. I want to know that my soul is saved and that I'm going to heaven." The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. There's no promise that you'll have tomorrow, but there is promise that you have tonight. I want us to bow our heads, and I want you to pray this prayer out loud after me. Pray it out loud. Oh God, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm willing to turn from my sin. I receive Christ as Savior. I confess Him as Lord. From this moment on, I want to follow Him.
and serving in the fellowship of His church. In Christ's name. Amen.